welcome to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host, and we can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. And I want to welcome you back to another installment of Fractured Fairy Tales, or more appropriately, Dispelling Fractured Fairy Tales, the Fractured Fairy Tales that are modern-day Christian doctrine, all-encompassing, but specifically focused on what is termed the end times, the last days. And the irony of the Lord is just so amazing as we continue on in our journey of revelation, understanding, as he opens his word, his sealed word. Go that way, Daniel. These words are sealed until the time of the end. And as we see these amazing, profound truths being opened up at an alarming rate to us, they are so astonishing because they've been running right under our nose the whole time. And it's only in the Lord's timing as he opens this understanding that he keeps hidden. He keeps it veiled from who he chooses. And while, you know, the theologians have labored to understand and teach the scriptures, they can't be figured out. You cannot figure them out with human wisdom. And as Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." You know, these are just the most profound words that we've heard over and over again, but we in these, undisputable final days, you know, how long, we don't know, but this, situation that we find ourselves in as these men have attempted to teach this encrypted writing known as the Bible, 66 books assembled in a format that the Lord orchestrated. And we can argue and discuss all we want about, you know, translations and the canon of Scripture and et cetera, but you know, we've come to the conclusion that really the 1611 King James Bible was a act of divine power to assemble the words that were going to be needed to navigate the end time deception. And, you know, we can, you know, entertain looking at other scriptures, but adamantly warn against the modern translations that have now pretty much come to be the dominant scriptures. And in varying degrees, the dangers that have come out of some of these modern Bibles has only added to this veiling of the wisdom of God and in men's attempt to, you know, make the scriptures more easy to understand, etc. Whatever they believe they are doing, in fact, they're just confounding, you know, the true wisdom of God that He reveals to His servants, the prophets, His secret. And this only comes by divine revelation, as Jesus told Peter, that Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who was in heaven. That's the rock that the church is built upon, that the gates of hell do not prevail against. And, you know, this is Christian 101. That's just not taught, you know, as that portion of Scripture has been as corrupted as, you know, in the notion that Jesus was talking about Peter being an earthly representative of Christ himself in this, you know, Roman Catholic doctrine of the Pope and everything that comes with that. But in turn, the counterpart to that would be the misinterpretation of Matthew 13:33, as the woman took and hid leaven into three measures of meal until the whole loaf was leavened. It's basically the foundation that the evangelical church is built upon. The misunderstanding of that verse, in that John Wesley taught, and the doctrines were adopted by modern evangelical Christianity, that is talking about the gospel. The gospel leavening the world with its truth, but, you know, ironically, as always, it's actually talking about the very thing that's happening there, as far as the leaven is the false teaching, the false doctrine that the woman, the harlot, hid secretly into the meal, into the three measures of meal, till the whole loaf was leavened. And this is the picture the Lord's given us for the last days, that in the last days, the kingdom of heaven is leavened. And it's not partially leavened, the whole loaf is leavened. This is what's taught in Scripture. And it's just, you know, absolutely contrary to modern doctrine. But it's in the Lord's brilliant irony, it is literally teaching the very event that happens, in that the leaven is the false doctrine that has corrupted the house of God. And when we dig deeper, we realize that this is all foretold in Scripture. It's written, and it's happening just as the Lord planned for His purpose. And today we're going to take a look at a key doctrine in the church, in Christianity, the doctrine of the tribulation. This fabled event that takes place, you know, supposedly in the last 7 years or the last 3.5 years of time. But submit to you today, it's what Scripture is teaching about this event known as the tribulation is quite a bit different than what is taught by the pulpit masters of the modern house of God. And as always, the brilliant irony the Lord uses as He reveals His mystery. And when the mystery is understood, you realize that this whole thing is just so over the top that you can't believe it. Just as Habakkuk said, though it were told you, you wouldn't believe it. And this is what's happening. The Lord's strange work, the work that if were told you, you would not believe it. Because judgment does never go forth in the house of God, so the Lord brings judgment. And he is judging his house right now. And we're going to take a look at what Scripture says. Ezekiel chapter 5. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head, upon thine beard. Then take thee balances to weigh, and divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city, when the days of the siege are fulfilled. So this, I'm going to stop right here. This is in the middle of verse 2. We hear about the days of the siege. Well, this is referencing the Babylonian captivity. And, you know, we've been teaching dogmatically now the last couple months that we're in the Babylonian captivity. And it seems that the Babylonian captivity is about to end. This Babylonian captivity today, in modern times, is not the physical carrying away of the people to another land, but it's being taken away by the flood of deception, the flood of lies. Just as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And this is what we're living today, as the flood out of the dragon's mouth has truly carried away the masses. Continue on in Ezekiel chapter 5. This is the rest of verse 2. And thou shalt take a third part and smite about it with a knife, and a third part thou shalt scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. So here we're seeing in these two verses the account of the thirds. Still mysterious, but you know the Lord is bringing this out. It's coming together. Who are these thirds? What are their distinct characteristics? And you know, it's our hope and prayer to bring that out, to these identities in the last days. Where you fit? What group are you in? Are you in one of these thirds, or would Ezekiel chapter 5 verse 3 more appropriately describe you? Thou shalt also take thereof a few in number, and bind them in thy skirts. So who's that? This fourth entity, this fourth group that is separate from these three. I'm going to continue on, and we'll take a look at that later. Then take of them again, cast them into the midst of the fire, and burn them with fire, for there of shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. So here's the Lord telling us that there's going to be a fire that comes into the house of Israel. And yes, he's talking about a physical purification that was taking place at the time of Ezekiel and forward, as the captives were set free and returned to Jerusalem. Few returned relative to the number of Jews that were taken into Babylonian captivity. You know, most were quite content with Babylon and made a way there, which is also the type and shadow of what we have today. As today, the house of God is quite content in Babylon. And ironically, they don't even realize that they're in Babylon. This is part of the judgment, part of the deception. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 6, and she hath changed my judgments into wickedness, more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are around about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes. They have not walked in them. So here's a verse in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 6, telling us that the house of Israel, the church, has changed God's judgments into wickedness, and that his statutes have been changed more than the countries that are around about her. In other words, that the church has basically become worse than the world in its delusion, deception, doing things its own way. And this is the reason that this judgment has come. And I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like, because of all thine abominations. Therefore the fathers shall eat their sons in the midst of them, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into the winds. And I just made a comment this week on Facebook concerning scattered, and you know, we've been really taking a look at scattering and gathering and what the Lord is doing, and we truly do believe that we're in this period of time now where the true remnant of God are being gathered, as well as the apostate are being gathered into the Valley of Armageddon, metaphorically, the Valley of Decision, the time when the Lord does gather the nations, and His people, two separate groups, as this is, you know, clearly the message that is taught in Scripture, and absolutely the opposite of the message that's taught in the harlot church. And that message is the message of separation, the message of come out of her, my people, the message of be separate, and you know, don't not partake in any unclean thing. This is the message. This is the Lord's purpose, that He is about separating out a people to Himself, and we're in that process, you know, very, very clearly as can possibly be seen, that this is the final time, the final run of this judgment, this as the beast powers have assembled into a mighty force for the final recapitulation of this way that the Lord uses to do exactly what I was just saying, to separate out a people. And we'll continue on reading in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because thou hast defiled my sanctuaries with all thy detestable things, with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, neither shall mine eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. This is talking about the Lord. This is the Lord. This is the living God that is portrayed in Scripture, but not taught in the church today. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 12. A third part of thee shall die with a pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter a third part into the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall my anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted, and they shall know that I am the Lord, have spoken. It is my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make thee waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So what is this talking about? How can this be? How can the Lord that we've been taught in Sunday school and in the churches, you know, how can this be part of that? My anger will be accomplished, it says. I will cause my fury to rest upon them. Well, we know in Scripture the references to the indignation of the Lord. And, you know, this is what we're dealing with today. This indignation, this Lord's anger, is the very work that He foretold in His Scripture that would be coming. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. The Lord's indignation, the Lord's anger. O Assyrian, the rod of my anger. For yet a little while the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of His indignation to destroy the whole land. Isaiah 26:20, Come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself for a little moment till the indignation is overpassed. Isaiah 30, verse 27, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. So what's this talking about? You know, this is talking about the Lord allowing his house to be infiltrated with false teachers, with false doctrine. The Assyrians, the Gog Magog, the Chaldeans, the army of horsemen, the mighty men. It's all talking about the same thing. It's all talking about the modern manifestation of the similitudes taught in the Old Testament. The Old Testament invasions of Israel. Israel being the church. Israel being the house of God. Spiritual. A spiritual house in the last days. The house that, Jesus prophesied that in the Olivet Discourse, that not one stone would be left upon another. And that in the context of the disciples asking, Lord, when will we know the sign of your coming? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Many Christs will rise in my name and deceive many. This is all the reference to the deception that comes upon the land in the last days. The deception is the indignation of the Lord. The deception is the tribulation. And the deception, the tribulation, has been running in force since the beast powers came together after World War II. The outward sign of the lion, the bear, and the leopard forces combining for the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, for the purpose of judgment, clearly taught Zechariah, Daniel, Book of Revelation. And this is where we are today, in this tribulation that this, it says they will turn from the truth and believe fables. Paul wrote that to Timothy. This is truly what we have today, the title of this series, Fractured Fairy Tales, dispelling the false teaching that is modern Christian end times. And ironically, the false teaching is the very indignation that the Lord forewarned. And we see that this is also the wrath of God, the indignation of the Lord, which has been on the land clearly, unmistakably, since 1948, when all the events that set the stage for the perfect storm of deception, strong delusion, came together. We've got Billy Graham and television. We've got Hugh Hefner and pornography. We've got the World Council of Churches. We have the prosperity, the baby boom mentality, the post-war alleged freedom that America experienced, the entitlement that was spawned out of the seeming victory of World War II. But I've come to realize that what was ahead now is the judgment. Is the I'm seeing clearly the outward signs, the physical manifestations the Lord's given us as just signposts to hang our hat on to navigate where we are as He reveals outward events to us as we study Scripture, and you can see the signatures clearly concerning the beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, the final kingdoms that have come together for the purpose of judgment. And out of these final kingdoms, this new world order, if you will, is the result of man forsaking his resting place. Nothing new. The same exact dynamic that took place at the time of the first Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel 22. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbor by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord. Thou hast despised mine holy things, and has profaned my Sabbaths. Behold, therefore, I have smitten mine hand, at thy dishonest gain, which thou hast made, and at thy blood, which has been in the midst of thee. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong, in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it, and will do it. This is what we're up against. See, this is the exact thing we talked about the last show. Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with thee? You know, this is what we're called to do. You know, we're called to overcome everything that's been brought about. And, you know, specifically since World War II, we just use that as a signpost to know clearly the period of time that we are in is what we saw come out of the verse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, coming together at this period of time as the United States UN military industrial complex might, and few realize the significance of the little horn power that is manifest in the nation state of Israel and the implications thereof, as we see the signature of all apostate ministries is their loyalty to what they believe is Israel. But they don't realize that the Israel of God, the Commonwealth of Israel, is a spiritual house. That Israel is a spiritual place. And it is the people of God. And those who have, you know, destroyed thine heritage and brought thy heritage to reproach, as the scripture says, is the signature of what man has done in his striving for gain, in his forgetting his Sabbath. Those, the shepherds from Jeremiah chapter 50 that have caused the people to forget their resting place. You know, these are all the manifestations of until we die. But this is our world, and while the church at large, quite remarkably, the Christian ministries are talking some serious doom and gloom coming. You know, economic collapse, the IRS, the spy cameras, the TSA, blah blah blah, all that stuff. That's there. It's certainly there, but it's just all diversion, taking our focus from what's really already happened, in that this society that our generation has been born into is the generation that this mystery Babylon is manifest, you know, into its final run. And as we are so ingrained in this entitlement mentality that we've all been, you know, part of, I'm talking to myself here most of all, that this, you know, we're entitled to these mansions, these cars that are just decadence, top to bottom, the food, the luxuries that people just haven't had. This is all, you know, a result of the masses being lulled to sleep with this pleasure. And while that took place, the woman took and hid leaven into three measures of meal. And we just look at the results of this. For example, I mentioned earlier the Marxist takeover. Marx attack the father, the weak family, you know, the attack on the family system. You know, we made a comment a while back. Bill had remarked, and I agree with him, that really, for the first time in history, that the family unit has been all but destroyed. Yeah, there are still intact families out there, but they're so few and far between. And in the house of God, where the statistics mimic the world. But what did I read earlier in Ezekiel? That her sins are, she has changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes. They have not walked in them. This is basically saying that the church gets worse than the world. I mean, is that, I see it. We see it. All in the name of Christianity and the social emphasis on these in these corporate boxes where, you know, my pastor's so nice and so is his wife. And I've got so many friends and it's just all flesh, superficial, stimulus, sensual. But we're seeing how this perfect storm has come to pass. And while these ministries are talking about the coming doom and gloom, the coming tribulation, all looking through the eyes of a man as this little horn power. You know, in Daniel it says that the little horn has the eyes of a man. And there's a clear connection that this is what the little horn power does. It keeps man looking at things through his physical eyes, his flesh eyes, which is the signature of apostasy. As these cryptic encoded scriptures that the Lord has unveiled at the end times. He says, go that way, Daniel. These words are sealed until the time of the end. I'm going to read a portion of scripture out of Daniel chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This is talking about this tribulation that we're talking about here today. This is the truth concerning the tribulation, this time of great trouble. And many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. See, that's talking about the first resurrection and the second death. See, some do not experience the first resurrection. Many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. I'll get back into that in a minute. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This is where we're at. You know, this is that portion of Daniel is where we're at. There should be a time of trouble. You know, this is the time of trouble, the Jacob's trouble. You know, this show today builds upon a foundation of many weeks of study coming to this conclusion that this thing known as the tribulation, this thing known as the indignation, has been upon us. You know, it's clearly, I teach that. Anybody that has any questions concerning this, go back and listen to the show called The Flood, where we see the connections of this fabled 7-year tribulation. Well, it's a metaphor. The 70 weeks of Daniel, there's the final week of Daniel. And there's all the signatures that it ran once through the period of time from the physical Babylonian captivity and ended it with the sacking of the temple in 70 AD. And then all the indications are that whole scenario replays. That the whole thing replays in the end, and I see the signatures clearly of the period of time beginning in the late 1800s, 140 years ago, which is a connection to the 5 months in Revelation chapter 9. And you got to go back and listen to that show, The Flood, to get all the details on this that I'm talking about. But it puts the setting up of the abomination of desolation in 1948, when the nation state of blasphemy Israel was established as a counterfeit to the New Jerusalem. The whole spiritual understanding concerning New Jerusalem, the city, Mount Zion, Jerusalem above, it was all been counterfeited by the Lord's vessels of wrath. So these people that are set aside for God's purpose, and His purpose is for judgment. It's for the His wrath to be poured out, which is what we're in the middle of right now. His wrath has been poured out without measure. And anyone questioning it here, I'm just going to keep repeating and reiterating what I'm saying, because I'm dispelling the fables, I should say, concerning this event known as the Great Tribulation, because it is not what has been taught by the harlot church. Then to go back into Daniel chapter 12, it says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel. This is, I'm jumping ahead to verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 2,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. But go thy way, Daniel, till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And so this is all metaphor, those days. But the daily sacrifice taken away, the abomination set up. That's 1948. There's just absolutely no doubt that that's the signature the Lord gave us. When we see the desolation, the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not, as it says in Mark, is clearly the nation state of Benjamin Netanyahu, David Ben-Gurion blasphemy Israel. And that is the beacon the Lord's given us, the saints, to know where we are. And everything's coming forward from there. And we clearly see the parallels to that event as the Babylonian captivity in metaphoric spiritual terms, as a type and shadow of the deception that at that point in history grabbed hold, and in a period of now 60 plus years has completely taken over society, completely taken over the world with the fleshly deceptions, you know, that came out of that period. And just to reiterate again, you know, just, I know where we are today. I was at a graduation party last weekend. It was a gay couple there, men, young men. I think they graduated from high school. Just openly, absolutely effeminate man and his partner. And my heart broke for him. I knew, you know, he is a product of this time of trouble, not to mention everything else that's come with it. But this is the result of what's taken place in this time of intense trouble that the Lord has allowed to be poured out without mixture upon his people. And like I said in Daniel, it's those who overcome. Many shall be purified and made white, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And this is what's happening right now, is this massive onslaught of evil that has come upon the land. And just to reiterate again, I just keep putting out more signatures of the product that we are, the baby boom generation and beyond, that has been infiltrated with this system of lies, and that what came out of Marx and the Schofield era, I put those two together because they're so similar as they attacked truth in areas, and they work hand in hand, is those doctrines out of that period of history have now come forth. And all I can say is what I see is this 140 years is the tribulation. It's the whole 70th week in the second run in the last days. Signatures that the Lord's given us, that the first group of settlers set up camp in Palestine in 1878, 70 years exactly before 1948. And all the signs are there that the metaphor of the 70th week is 140 years of time at the end, when the Lord has allowed his wrath to be poured out without mixture. And clearly, the midst of the week, when the sacrifice and oblation ceased is the metaphor of the spiritual sacrifice that is the Christian walk that was that ceased as the false gospel and no one more prominent than a Billy Graham would responsible for bringing forth this false doctrine of we are wretched sinners of no hope in this life to overcome sin, but hallelujah, we're washed in the blood, and we are, when God sees us, he doesn't see us, he sees Jesus. Well, that's a false gospel. That's the dominant message in the harlot church. That has caused the sacrifice to cease and everything that comes from it. And I don't go into that. I would encourage anyone to listen to what our brother Mike DeSario is saying these days. He's got an excellent message. I'll put a link to it on the show. And Mike is zeroed in on the analyzing the gospel message that has taken over the churches on all its variations, and where it came from, and why we're here today. It says, "Woe to them that make merchandise of you." This is the gospel of merchandise. This is the gospel of big churches. This is the gospel that it took to fill up these big boxes. And so clearly adopted at the time that Billy Graham arrived on the scene. Billy Graham, Freemason, 33-degree Freemason, financed by William Randolph Hearst, Knights of Malta. This whole signature of the Jesuit infiltration, basically the Council of Trent was the setting up of the Jesuits to counter whatever had happened during the Reformation. And basically, on one layer, this is what we're experiencing today, that the Jesuit infiltration of Protestant Christianity has now resulted in mass confusion, every wind of doctrine, causing the Christians to be completely deceived, massively confused. And we're in the process of that separation right now, as we saw described in Ezekiel chapter 5, is in Ezekiel the metaphor of Ezekiel's beard. And it's the reiteration of the thirds that we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, chapter 8, the thirds. And I'm still not ready to dogmatically teach the thirds with the minute detail that I believe the Lord is opening up. But it's coming, and the three groups, those who do wickedly, that don't understand, we just talked about in Daniel, and the many will be made pure. These are the groups, these are the people. That's just this whole point of this deception, of this wrath poured out without mixture, is for separation, for God separating out a people unto himself. Separating out those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Zoe Life, the life that Jesus modeled for us. That's the life that Jesus brought us. That's the gospel. That's the sacrifice. Our lives, laying down our lives as living sacrifices. This is the portion of the gospel message that's been obliterated in this last 70 years. And this is why the sacrifices ceased. And this is why all this stuff has happened, because the gospel's restraining power has been taken out of the way. This is the point. The restrainer. The restrainer is the gospel. And it was allowed to come forward through the church age, albeit through always a remnant body that the Lord has always separated out to himself. And it's been brought forward through persecution. Now, the message in the harlot church is so focused on coming persecution. And I submit to you that the real concern for the Christian today is deception. And I've been saying that for 4 years since the Lord woke me out of the coma that I was in. The coma that was the covenant with death and hell that I was living under. this covenant that I believed I had made with death and hell was ultimately my trusting my refuge of lies, as it says in Isaiah chapter 28. But then as I saw the hail sweep away the refuge of lies in my life, as the persecution that I experienced, and tremendous, turmoil for speaking the truth that the Lord was revealing to me. You know, I'm here to tell you now that the Lord's redeeming that and, giving back everything I lost physically in this world that matters. And, I praise Him for that. But I also see the connection now through an email this week. James Lloyd had sent this out, and then we were picking up on it and sending it back and forth. But you see the signatures of death and hell. And serpents, scorpions. Serpents kill, scorpions torment. Death is kill, hell is torment. And then we see their dead bodies lie in the streets of Sodom and Egypt. Sodom is death, Egypt is torment. The plagues, the signatures are all there. So the covenant with death and hell is basically the apostate Christian when he is lying in the streets of Sodom and Egypt, being killed by the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, serpents and scorpions, which are the false teachers, the false doctrine, this what I'm describing here. And yes, this stuff is all recapitulated since the cross, but and certainly in the Old Testament, types and shadows. But this thing cycles, and we see these cycles coming together now in, with other signatures concerning the final kingdoms, the final physical kingdoms that brought all this together, the White Horse, British Empire, Black Horse, Nazi Empire, Red Horse, Russian Empire, the final kingdoms on Earth join for what this is, new, this thing known as the New World Order that has been in place since World War II, behind the scenes, as these world powers joined into the final kingdom, the Pale Horse, the diverse fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. The Pale Horse, whose rider is death and hell. The Pale Horse, who brings about apostasy, that the Christians make a covenant with death and hell. You see the signatures here? And this is what we're living. And when I talk about this covenant with death and hell, and the reason that this stuff has been allowed is because the true gospel has been diminished. The true gospel has been taken out of the way with this false gospel that we all grew up with. And this is the gospel that has allowed the family to be destroyed, the matriarchal takeover of society. This is the gospel that has allowed the influences of Hollywood, of the music industry, to take over the minds of the people, the masses. This is no accident, because this is all the wrath of God. This is the wrath of God poured out without measure. This is the wrath that this is the wrath in Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, this is the wrath. This is the wrath of God, the false teaching, the false Christian church, the harlot Babylon church, Mystery Babylon. See, this is Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon has come into focus for the Lord's people. The mystery of God should be revealed to His servants, the prophets, it says in Revelation chapter 10. Well, this is the wrath. The wrath is come. Babylon is fallen. It's all the same thing. And it's this false system that has been developed right before our eyes. You know, those of us who are listening in our 40s, 50s, 60s, we saw this happen. You know, we saw this happen right before our eyes. It's going to blast through some. I like to keep doing this just to make sure we understand what this has all been about. But we've got the CIA asset Gloria Steinem upsetting the patriarchal system. It says that in the last days, the Antichrist, which is the influence of the power behind these people, that he will change times and laws. This is what's happened. The core of God's sovereignty, the core of God's I just think of the word standard. I mean, the Lord's standard, the Lord's the law has just been turned upside down by man. And so we've got this influence coming out of the 50s, you know, obviously Hugh Hefner, pornography completely ends up in this last days with these young kids walking around with pocket TVs that they can watch any pornographic material that they want at a push of a button, and everywhere in between. And you know it's happening everywhere. You know, I'm at a Promise Keepers conference the months before I woke up out of the harlot church, when this is all the things that led up to me, and the consensus was 70% of the men had looked at pornography that week. Christians, professing Christians. But just this has all happened because of this infiltration, this time of trouble, this time, this wrath that's poured out without measure, without mixture, in the last days. And it's those who overcome this. Overcome what? Well, Billy Crystal, starting with his character in the sitcom Soap, the first openly gay character that today is the norm. And every Disney movie, every Disney TV show, there's a gay character telling kids that it's normal. It's just an alternative lifestyle. Beavis and Butthead in the 80s, this whole mentality of this MTV, you know, abomination infiltrating the minds of the young people. These are the people that are running the show today. You know, the TV show Friends, that we were talking about that this week. What, you know, these friends were all just whores, sleeping around, doing whatever they want, promiscuity, unbridled. The show Seinfeld, everybody loved, grew up with Kramer, everybody's friend Kramer, he's so funny. But the message in this show that controlled the 90s, you know, Seinfeld used as a clip during a sermon in an evangelical harlot church. You know, it's just okay as the norm. These people and their miserable attitudes of selfishness, you know, it became society, because this stuff all just, these lies are repeated over and over. You know, Jerry Seinfeld had a different sex partner every episode. I mean, this is the norm. You know, this is what we, and then we got to remember Harry Potter, you know, and that whole phenomenon through the new decade, the new millennium here. And, you know, these kids all know, you know, the magic spells more than they know their Bible, you know. And this is where we are. This is the time of trouble. Lady Gaga, Madonna coming in with, you know, her music and her message and taking over the minds of these young people. And, you know, has become the norm now. These are the people, the Beyoncés and the, you know, Lady Gagas that the girls, you know, love and want to be like. They want that, the riches and the Kardashians, living with the Kardashians, the reality shows, this lifestyle that's portrayed that causes the young to want it. Disney, the Disney shows, you know, showing that we work hard and strive to be all we can be and dig down within ourselves to be, you know, all we can be, to anyone can be president, all that mentality that we grew up with. It's all come to the full now, and it's just taken over, see, and this is where we are. We've got things like Oprah Winfrey and her false Christ, her, you know, secret and her message, and it all goes hand in hand with this phenomenon that came across upon the Catholic, the Christian church. And I know many of my friends that were solid Christians at one time who are now lying in the streets of Sodom and Egypt because of the Shack, this atrocious abomination of a book that came up with this fictitious Jesus character portrayed as a black woman. And it's just all man-made garbage, you know. And it's just, this stuff is taken as gospel. This is taken as truth. And this is just a commentary on where we are today as a people, you know, and all the peace gospel coming out of Rick Warren, and the must stand for the, you know, must support what is perceived as Israel, which is a counterfeit by John Hagee and Christians United for Israel. And we've got the whole dominionist, we're going to take back the seven mountains of influence for God. We're going to help God, and we're going to take back the seven mountains of influence. And these are the three main legs of apostasy in the church today, and it's all come about by what started, you know, almost 70 years ago now, as these New Age doctrines crept in and have taken over the minds of the professing Christians. And it's ironic that these thirds, always thirds, there's always three parts. Babylon is divided into thirds. Two parts cut off, one part brought through the fire and refined. You know, it's our call to find our place in this and be accounted outside of those thirds, because we don't want to be one of the thirds. We want to be, you know, in Ezekiel's beard, the few that were tucked into his skirt. You know, that's what we want to be. We don't want to be part of the thirds. You know, we want to be a part of Babylon. You know, the message is to come out of Babylon, and this is what we've dealt with. The time of Jacob's trouble, we taught that clearly a couple weeks ago. It's the time of the tribulation that we've been in, time of the indignation of the Lord. The Lord has poured out his anger upon the land. And this is not the Lord that's taught in these harlot churches, but this is the Lord. It's not about everybody making it. It's about God separating out a people unto himself. And we can't dispute what we're taught in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. Again, I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to the Olivet shows from a few months back. All this has been is a process over the last couple of years. This stuff all coming together. And I've just been teaching what the Lord's been showing me. And there's not many people teaching this. I don't know anybody's teaching it. I mean, we've got in the truth community, whatever that has become now, in the church, you know, the ones who, you know, there's a, you know, movement to claim remnant. You know, the even the term remnant has been counterfeited and been corrupted. And, you know, we just hope and pray that these people that are seeking the Lord, seeking the truth, that he will continue to reveal it to him, but it is so hidden. But we take a look at Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Well, you know, we've taught clearly this has happened. This is where we are right now. We are in the period after the tribulation, or close to it. You know, we're probably still in the tribulation, you know. But it's this is the period of time Matthew's talking about. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. That's what I just got done describing. The tribulation that came forward since 1948, and all the mind control, deception, false doctrine in the churches that have completely leavened the loaf. The whole loaf is leavened. And, you know, the sun and the moon is the gospel in the church. You know, the sun is the gospel darkened. The moon doesn't reflect the sun, the light of the sun anymore. That's the church. And the stars fall from heaven. That's the fallen Christians. That's the apostasy. That's the great apostasy. And the power of heaven shall be shaken. This is where we are. This is what we're doing. This is where we're in right now. This is why there's just so much confusion out there. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is the second coming. This is the man-child. This is the Lord inhabiting his people. The cloud of witnesses. The Lord Jesus Christ inhabiting his people. These are those that we talked about back in Matthew. I mean, back in Daniel. The Many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. You know, and the firmament is the connection between heaven and earth. And they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. You know, this is what's happening right now, and it's growing like a snowball. One by one, the Lord's gathering his elect from the four winds, and it's happening right before our eyes. Because, you know, we see that absolutely in continuation of Matthew 24. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Well, that sound of a trumpet is us right now. I'm one of these trumpets going on. You're hearing this trumpet right now on this podcast. An angel is a messenger. That word angel is messenger, and this is it. You know, we're the messengers here, folks. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And it's also the voices in Revelation chapter 14 that are saying, fear God. You know, the ones that are telling people to, you know, believe the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel, the gospel of the kingdom that we saw earlier in Matthew 24. When this gospel is preached, then the end comes. And see, that's what's going on now. The true gospel is being preached into this gross darkness. And that's what God is using to gather his elect. We'll start over again. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So what's happening right now, through this time of trouble, this time of great trouble that we've all lived through, our lifetime, we've been born and grew up during the tribulation, folks. And yes, this is shocking to those who are clinging to this harlot church system, but this is what Scripture's teaching. This is what it all gets down to now. Those who make a covenant with death and hell are in agreement that when the overflowing scourge comes, which is what I'm talking about, the overflowing scourge is the deception, the flood, the overflowing. These are all metaphors of the flood that comes upon the land in the last days. It says in Daniel that in the end will be a flood and war. This is the Gog-Magog War. We're in the Gog-Magog War. The Gog-Magog War is the war of truth and lies fought with our spiritual armor that Gog-Magog has, armor, in Ezekiel chapter 38. You see that clearly. And it's the war fought in heavenly realms, and it's against God's remnant elect, against the religious system. The beast that was not, shall ascend. The beast that was killed Christ, the very Messiah that they were waiting for, visited them. They knew not the time of their visitation, and they ended up killing their own Messiah. That's the beast that was. The deadly wound inflicted at the cross, Satan was conquered. But at the end, Satan is bound. He was bound in the bottomless pit during the New Testament era, allowing the gospel to come forward. And in the end, the bottomless pit is opened, and Satan is loosed from his prison. Why? Because the gospel restraining power of the gospel message is taken out of the way. When the sacrifice ceases, when the true gospel of repentance and laying one's life down and losing one's life as a spiritual sacrifice is forsaken, that restraining power is taken out of the way, allowing Satan to deceive the nations again, to continue a short period, a short space, it says, to continue to deceive the nations at the level he deceived before the cross. This is what we're living in right now. It's this period of time known as Jacob's trouble, great trouble, the indignation of the Lord, the Lord's anger poured out without mixture, and we're in it. The cup of his wrath, the wine of the cup of his wrath, the wine is the false doctrine, the lies that are just taken over. And while the very lies that are being taught concerning this event I'm teaching right now today is the wine of the cup. So the irony the Lord uses here is just so amazing, so brilliant, and it just, you know, we continue to just you know, be astonished. Astonished like John claimed when he saw her. You know, you look at a passage of Scripture like in Revelation chapter 17, when Revelation 17:3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. So here's John, a metaphor, being carried away into the wilderness by the Spirit, which is what we're called to do today. We're called out of the harlot church, into the wilderness, to come out of her, my people. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. And upon her forehead was written the name Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And here we are. This is it. I mean, this is what we're living right now, you know. And John was astonished at what he saw. Why? Because it was amazing. It was hidden in mystery. This is Mystery Babylon. It's hidden. It's hidden from those who without eyes to see. And it goes right back to where we started the show with 1 Corinthians, where, you know, the Lord's strange act. The Lord, hiding his truth, that the wisdom of the cross, the preaching of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So here we are. You know, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This has all come to full, come to the full, is this mystery that the Lord allows only his people to see. Has been unveiled. And it's being unveiled on a one-by-one basis. And as God's people are coming to the point of realizing something's wrong, those that are truly seeking the truth, regardless of what they get, and that can't be confused with taking my version of truth, the truth that I want, so that it doesn't disrupt my lifestyle too much, but I love Jesus. Well, you know, that doesn't work that way. Sorry, but this is the problem, and this is the message that's promoted in these harlot box churches, that you can come here and confess Jesus, get baptized right in front of everybody, and you're saved. Well, that's not the gospel. That's not the message. That's not the message of salvation. The true gospel requires the loss of our life. We lose our life for the sake of the gospel. We enter into covenant with God. It's a spiritual covenant, and it's a two-part covenant. It's a relationship, and it's clearly taught in Scripture. I would encourage everyone to listen to our brother Bill Johnson on Divinely Inspired Scripture. I'm going to put links to both of these websites on this show. This is Christian 101 here tonight, folks, dispelling the fractured fairy tales of modern-day Christian doctrine. And this one is a very important understanding that has to be taught. We have to realize what we've all been through. We've all been through the tribulation. Everyone walking this earth today has their lifetime has been through the tribulation. And it's the overcomers that make it. The ones that overcome Jezebel, that overcome the synagogue of Satan, that overcome the second death, are the ones who make it. This is the message. This is the truth. This is the everlasting gospel. And this is the message that needs to spread, because as this spreads, it will usher in the Lord's return that is already underway, because he's returning in his saints, and it's already happening. Are you a part of it or not? That's the only question. And if you love the truth more than you love the lies, you're going to be a part of it. But if you are clinging to anything in this life, the Lord will not mess with you until you're ready to let it go. He is long-suffering, and his hand is stretched out still, meaning that he's always able to receive you to a point. But there is a time in it that it seems when it's too late, when they seek death and can't find it. They seek to die to their life here, and they can't. Scripture talks about it. It's still mysterious. Many things have not opened up to us yet, but we're just running the race, walking at God's pace as he is, has us, his true saints, in his yoke. Take my yoke, it is light. And that's his rest. That's his Sabbath rest. And that's the reason all this has happened, because man has forsaken his Sabbath rest. And on a massive scale, it's the conquest of world wars that came to, conclusion, I'll say, in 1947-48, after World War II, when these beast powers, these final kingdoms of the earth, manifest into this conglomeration of capitalism, communism, fascism, more signatures of these identities, to this new world order, this man-made utopian society based on the flesh, based on man's ability to build and climb, build a wall with untempered mortar, and build his Tower of Babel to, you know, climb into heaven another way. But, you know, it doesn't work. But Jesus is the cornerstone of New Jerusalem, the true house, and it's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and we, as lively stones, are built into the walls. This is what's happening. The Lord is building his house that has been torn down by deception, that one stone's left upon another, but the Lord rebuilds his house, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, as it says in Zechariah. And this is the Lord's plan. Like it or not, you are called to get on board or not. And those who understand among the people will instruct many. But as Daniel, you know, told us that these words that he wrote will be sealed till the time of the end. Well, we're in the time of the end. And the Lord is opening up these words. He's given understanding to his people. And in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, I'll reiterate and close. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And these are talking about the church. This is all talking about the people in the church, the wicked in the church, the transgressors that come to the full that will not understand. They sleep a perpetual sleep, as it says in Jeremiah chapter 51. But the dry bones in the valley, the Lord breathes life back into them. And this is what's happening right now. As these dead bodies lying in the streets of Sodom and Egypt are being having life breathed back into them. And they're ascending. They're ascending to heaven. They're being redeemed from the earth. And as this happens, those that observe you ascending, I have great fear. And I know many of us, we all can testify that people are scared to death of us these days. They don't want to hear this truth, because it offends them, and it comes against their life that they've grown so accustomed to. This, those who do wickedly against the covenant will be corrupted by flatteries. This is what we've lived through. This is Jacob's trouble, the time of flatteries, the time of the message that you're entitled to that $400,000 home, and you're entitled to that $60,000 SUV, and you're entitled to going to become a slave in the debt system. The system of usury, that is the complete type and shadow of what happened at the time of the first Babylonian captivity, as they forsaken their rest, they forsaken their resting place. But we have to identify with Daniel, but go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And this is the call. So my prayer and hope tonight is that we could dispel the fractured fairy tale of the coming tribulation. And it's already happened, folks. And immediately after this tribulation, the sun and the moon are darkened, and this is what we're living through right now. But God's people do shine as the firmament. You know, they shall be wise, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This is us. This is our call. This is where we need to be. We need to find our place in this scripture and stand and, you know, have our loins girt with truth and have our full armor of God on that we learned about in second grade Sunday school. Because it's time to use it, folks, in a real way, because this battle is not fought on earth. It's fought in heavenly realms. And we're living it. And that, I want to say goodbye. I thank everyone for listening, for encouragement. Until next time, this is Chris Ardern from Sound Doctrine saying goodbye.